regulations for the South African Citizenship Amendment Act and the Births and Deaths Amendment Act. We do have a few apologies from some members. Some members will join us as we continue with our meeting. But because there's nothing that we are going to adopt, I think we can continue with our meeting and hand over to the DGG, Home Affairs. Pardon? There won't be any introduction because I think we more or less know one another. We know the DDG, we know Advocate Silibe Meja from the legal unit of the department. And he's also familiar with our faces here. So we will hand over to the DDG. Are you the one who is leading the delegation? We hand over to you, Baba.
Honorable Chairperson and honorable members, good morning. May I first make apologies for both the Minister, Minister Naledi Pandor, and as well as the Deputy Minister and the Director General that they could not honor the invitation due to the fact that there was there's an engagement where they are interacting with the staff of the department management from a local level, and so that then the Minister can meet heads of offices and everyone in the department during this quarterly review that they are busy with. So they could not then be able to be here. However, then I am mandated to present the status report in relation to the regulations of both the two amended acts, and that is the Citizenship Act as amended in 2010, as well as the Birth and Death Restriction Amendment Act, also as attended to by the President in 2010. Maybe before we go into detail, we just felt it necessary to just go back a little bit about the objective of why this act was being amended. So I will start with that particular purpose, just to highlight the aspects there, and then go to the individual act in relation to where we are in terms of getting us to implement the regulations themselves. So I would like to just provide that update relating to the implementation of the act, of the two acts. So before we then do that, on the issue of the Citizenship Amendment Act, the object of really making this amendment related to firstly the issue about acquisition of citizenship of South Africa, whether it should be by birth, as well as by descent, as well as naturalization. And then also it was aiming at dealing with the issue of how to handle the issues of loss of citizenship for those who are non-South African. It then also to acquire citizenship by naturalization. And then, of course, it also went further to deal with the element of amending the dual citizenship process. Those were the main key, really, focus areas around the Citizenship Act. And therefore, then, now that we are at a level of regulations, I will take the honorable members to that particular process. So in a nutshell, that was just aimed to remind members on really where it all started. Not to present on the act because all that has gone through the normal channel of legislative process. It was just to say what exactly are we talking about. So coming then to the regulations and where we are, the amendment of the act took place and was signed by the President in 2010, December the 3rd. Subsequent to the enactment of the Citizenship Amendment Act, the department then set it up to the regulations. In the drafting of the regulations, we then, Minister Dlamini Zuma, found it necessary that we deviate from the norm that says it is a regulation, it's an internal process, department can look into it and work on it on their own. She then at that stage indicated that the people affected by the act better publish, allow them to have comments, to provide feedback on how exactly these regulations are going to impact on them. So we had to go through that process rather than to jump to implementation and thus developing regulations on our own as a department. Then the department solicited the views of the public through what we call the draft publication on government address, which was done on the 16th of May 2012 for public comment. This was, however, there were some of the institutions that requested extension, and therefore then the department extended up to the 31st of May. All comments then that were received were processed, considered, and some of the elements that had been raised, either in terms of eliminating ambiguity or in terms of just ensuring that the issue of cross-referencing is correct, they were not really substantive comments that were received, but we had to then adjust accordingly, taking into account the comments that had come from different and various stakeholders. Then in August 2012, a legal opinion on the draft regulations was requested. We then obtained it from the Office of the State Law Advisor, Department of Justice and Social Development. They had suggested certain amendments which also had been considered and accepted accordingly. The final draft regulations were then presented to the then Minister and Deputy Minister, who then suggested certain amendments also which have been considered and accepted. The regulations approved by the then Minister during September. We would like just to indicate that now that the new Minister is there, there is an intention to also prepare and make sure that she is up to date with these regulations, and then they will take effect under her term. So Minister Pandor will be then briefed accordingly. Currently there are briefing sessions that she is undertaking preference, so that she has a sense of what the department is. So the proclamation and the relevant documents to proclaim the Citizenship Act were prepared and were forwarded to the Honorable President for approval. And the same was obtained on the 17th of October 2012. And that is the mainly, Honorable Members, the amendment in the presentation we said we had not captured that element at that stage. So we got feedback that this has been done on the 17th of October. So the commencement date then that we are targeting to make sure that we implement from the regulation is now set for the 1st of January 2013. The department is in the process of publishing the proclamation and the regulation in the country. That is the reason why, among others, the issue of giving enough information to citizens about this implementation plan has given us to say, let us set a date of January 2013. Because what will be needed here are two fundamental things. Other than the publishing the from the Gazette, it will be mainly then to make sure that there is adequate training, two, that we make sure that there is advocacy that is required by citizens so that they are aware and not taken by surprise. So training on the regulations of our officials has commenced as of the 18th of October 2012 in Southern Province, and as I'm talking today, it is continuing now in Limpopo. And it is envisaged that this training itself will be finalized by the 1st of December. There was also then a process around the Citizenship Amendment Act where we had to also look at the forms so that the forms talk to the new requirements and they really able to respond to what are the new things that people must complete. So we had to also revisit the forms and not just use the old forms that might not be talking to the amended regulation, amended act. So all those were the things that it took some time for us to be able to do on the issue of Citizenship Act. So I would like to end there with the Citizenship Act. And then I'm ready to move to, or we have then the training schedule that will be continuing as I've indicated. It is by province. We've also identified critical stakeholders that will be trained in relation to the new regulations. And that that includes traditional leaders in particular, as well as councillors, as well as then religious sector, because of certain areas that impact on them and the assistance we require from them. Honourable Chair and Honourable Member, then in relation to Birth and Death Amendment Act, maybe just again to go back to what was really the object of amending the Act itself. On the purpose of the amending of the Birth and Death Act, the main issue was really to, firstly, was to look at the provisions relating to the registration of birth. And the essence there was really also about who must register birth. Because in the past we had those problems where anybody can just register birth, and there were requirements that were there, but who could be flouted by people. So we needed to just tighten that particular area so that it is clear on the Act. Secondly, then, was the issue of provisioning of to amend birth registration, which we also had to revise. And then it was dealing with the designation of funeral undertakers to make sure that the funeral undertakers, all of them, in terms of the Act, are really designated as they handle the issue of registration of death. Another object was to deal with the element about adoption and make provisions here rather than to leave adoptions as an open-ended thing. And then, of course, was to also deal with the provisions relating to secrecy of records obtained under the Act, so that then we manage in terms of the promotion of access to information Act, how best that can be handled, because department handles personal private matters. People submit their information to us, and therefore we have to be regulated by law on how best to handle that information of the people. And finally, was then to provide and make provisions relating to the making of regulations so that there will be clarity on how exactly the regulations can be rolled out. Again, here, I just need to give also a bit of a background relating to the fact that, again, the minister felt that let us not take these regulations, draft them on our own, and then suddenly implement them as a department. But that consultation should take place. And at this stage, it was very important, particularly to engage with the stakeholder forums that the department has. And there was that rollout of that process to make sure that the stakeholder forums are able to make inputs and advise accordingly. So that also took its own time. So in that context, where are we now? In terms of Birth and Death Amendment Act, the status is as follows. The Act, as we have indicated, was also assented to by the President on the 3rd of December 2010. Subsequent to that enactment, then the department drafted the regulations. Regulations were then forwarded again to the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, and then for them to provide some scrutiny and make suggested amendments, which we then considered and effected into the draft regulations. Regulations were then subsequently presented to the then minister on the 21st of March 2012 and subsequently published in the Gazette for public comments on the 15th of May 2012. All comments were received, that were received were then considered and incorporated where necessary accordingly into the final draft regulation. The final draft regulations then were presented again to the then minister, as well as the deputy minister. Suggestions were made about simplicity and making sure that there is no ambiguity again. There were that areas of emphasis around here, even the drafting format, that in sometimes it makes too long references, for example, that you must then read the Act, read the old Act, read the old regulation. It just became difficult. So one of the things that the then minister wanted was simplicity and straightforward ability to read. So even the drafting arrangement, there were a lot of engagement around that, because she wanted to make sure that when people get this regulation, they can read and make sense of it without the interpretation of a legal person. So we then had the draft regulations these have not yet been approved, and therefore then the Minister Pando will shortly be briefed about death and death registration amendments, and draft regulations will be requested to be approved into regulation. It is envisaged that the Birth and Death Amendment Act and regulation will be presented on the 1st of January simultaneously with the citizenship on the 2013. Training on the draft regulations also has commenced simultaneously with the citizenship regulations, that is as of the 18th of October in Gauteng, and example this week it will be undertaken also in Limpopo. And then we are hoping that this training will be finalized by the 1st of December. The training on the regulation of birth covers both officials of the department, stakeholders, including councillors, religious leaders, as well as traditional leaders. I would like to thank the Honourable Chair and the members. That is the status report in relation to readiness of the department on implementation of the regulation.
Thank you, TTG. I'm not sure if Advocate Sylvie Major would like to add, or you okay?
Thanks, Chairperson and Honourable Members. There's nothing to add. I think TDG has captured everything correctly. Thank you.
Okay, that was the brief by the department regarding the issue of regulation to the South African citizenship and the Birth and Death Amendment Act. Could I have or should I notice the hands? I notice Honorable McIntosh, Honorable Marcella. I'm not sure, it seems I'm a bit lost because I thought you were going to present us with the regulations. Maybe I don't understand. The thing is,
Honorable Chair, we'll just, because we do have the regulations, just whether we can be able to load them. So that the indication was that we need to present the status about the readiness of the department to implement, where are we? But if we have to present regulations themselves, we will do so.
I think that's what we expected. Honorable McIntosh, Honorable Marcel, in that order.
Madam Chair,
Thank you, Kabazela, for that. It's appreciated. I just have one concern. It's a comment, and maybe I'm being a bit unreasonable, but the law was assented to at the end of 2010, and the regulations are only going to be presented apparently by the minister in January 2013. So in fact it's 24 months between the assent to the law and the preparation and finalization. Now, I accept that regulations are very important and they can be quite complicated, etc. But it's not the first time we've got regulations. I mean, the previous law had them, and in fact, we're still operating under the old Births and Deaths Registration Act, and it may not be as good as the new Act, but it is working. So I think we should just have some explanation as to why it's taken 24 months to get to this stage. That's my one question. The other question, and Madam Chair, you may rule it out of order because it's. But in terms of our Citizenship Act, and I wasn't in the committee when it happened, but in terms of dual citizenship, many South Africans during the sort of struggle years had dual citizenship both ways. The South African government was very open to allowing South African citizens to get another citizenship. because of the difficulties of traveling as on a South African passport. Similarly, many of the people, the exiles, traveled on a non-South African passport. They were issued with United Nations passports or passports of other countries. Now, I would just appreciate perhaps Baba Mkhize can give us an explanation as to what is the status of people who, in a sense, the South Africans got permission then from the South African government to use to another passport, and as part of the struggle, the people who were exiles also, in a sense, they didn't have permission as such, but they, in a sense, were authorized to have another passport. I'd appreciate it if we could just get clarity on what the position is with those sorts of people.
Thank you, Honourable Member, but I think the exiles were actually not given permission by the then government to have a dual citizenship. They did not have that permission. They had citizens from the countries where they were staying at that time, but they were not given permission to have a dual citizenship. Honourable Masela.
Sorry, sir. I'm glad you raised the concern around us being presented with the regulations or the status. Because I wonder what is the difference between the two, because one would have really appreciated that we get to interact at the level of the regulations themselves. Because one of the other important factors of us engaging in the processes of the legislation itself, we then said that we are going to give them an olive branch in some areas, hoping that they are going to do the same, where we give the trust to them that they will do the right thing in trying to explain some of the areas where we felt that we needed more clarity. They said, no, the regulations would be more clearer in those areas. So in this case, it would be better if we perhaps get that indication. But my question then is, does the department have capacity, Mr. Mkhize, in terms of the staff personnel, given the high number of vacancies? Because the rate of vacancy is worrisome. And the many acting people who have one has correctly been quoted saying that we have a Department of Hollywood because of the nature of many acting positions. So I would then worry much about whether or not in January we'll be ready to implement the new act. Yes, the training is good, and I think that is a very good step. I commend you for that. But in terms of the many areas, we may need that, especially for enforcement, especially on the Citizenship Act. Because there are many areas, there was a stage where they were saying they are also going to stop taxi operators and say you must sign here because the TT must give an approval of how many passengers inside the car. So you can imagine how would that be policed if you had to, ensure there's enforcement. Obviously, the reality in practice and what is on the paper has always been a problem, despite the prudent laws that exist in this country. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. The deputy may respond.
Honorable Chairperson, thanks very much. The issue of why it has taken so long to implement, earlier I had indicated that at first there was a plan that we as a department internally looking at it that will follow the simple process of just going through the implementation because it's an internal process to approve. But then there was a change in the direction to say you can't just, now that there was a process of consultation in terms of the act, then you just decide to implement the act, the regulations on your own, and not allow people who will be affected by it not to make comments. And then during that time, we had to allow the process of really consultations to take place. Then thereafter, it was then a process of ratifying and checking that those regulations and the comments are incorporated where applicable, and then follow the process now of approval of that of the regulations themselves. So we accept that it has taken longer, but we think we'll have much more stronger regulations, much more well-canvassed regulations for people who will be able to understand them. There were times when often we will go back because the way in which it has been crafted, even just the crafting style, it was felt that it is not simple enough for people to understand. So we had to adapt in terms of all those demands, which initially we thought it's just something we internally will can do. But the minister then felt that you can't just implement these laws. We must depart from the way we've been doing things and allow people for that. So we acknowledge that it has taken longer, Chairperson, but we hope we'll have a much simpler but most effective regulations that will be easy also to implement at a local level. And then on the issue of dual citizenship and vis-a-vis people who must have passports, honorable members will remember that first, for you to have a passport, you must be a citizen of a country. You can't have a passport unless you are a citizen of the country. Now, in relation to dual citizens, the main departure point really was that there were two devils in the detail around this area. Firstly, was that the old act really was not very clear and understood by people in relation to what it means to say that you will lose your citizenship if you've taken citizenship of another country. Most people would apply for citizenship of another country as citizens of South Africa, not aware that they were likely to lose their citizenship. And yet the Act was there stating that if after a certain period you did not declare to the minister that you are taking citizenship back and the minister have responded, you will lose it. So we found ourselves having more people wanting what we call resumption of citizenship because they had unintentionally lost South African citizenship. The second point was then the problem around how do we handle people who are coming from other countries where they do not allow dual citizenship. And yet in South Africa we were silent on what should happen when that person applies. Therefore then to make sure that there is a reciprocity, that if your country allows dual citizenship, then you will be allowed to have dual citizenship. But if your country does not allow dual citizenship, you cannot then afford to have inexplicable status, because it means while we have a dual citizenship here, in fact, you might be losing your citizenship in another country. So we needed to align the law so that it is sensible and understandable in the way it was. And finally was then the issue of process of naturalization, that it was a long winding 7 years of 5 years after that, then we count stress. It was a very complicated process of naturalization to count when do you become a citizen, after a PR or in relation to marriages. So that needed to be simplified also. So what will happen in a nutshell, honorable members, will be that the act is clear. If you get that passport, because you are a South African citizenship, you have been allowed dual citizenship, you are entitled then because you have all the rights of a citizen of South Africa, including the travel documents. But what will happen is that if then also that element that was dealing with the person who might decide to be involved in the war in which the country does not support, we'll remember that long debate, honorable members, and at first it was not very clear. Now it is quite clear what will be the consequence. At what point does a person lose citizenship of South Africa if it was acquired through naturalization? Adequacy of staff. I believe that, firstly, maybe the issue of the staffing levels in the department. Remember, in leadership issues, we prioritize them in terms of the post. We had decided, particularly at a department level, that firstly, we must prioritize all heads of offices. because where there is no leadership at a local level, particularly heads of offices are going to have a problem. So that is always given the priority to make sure that all offices do not have acting people for too long. We fill the post. We even had to have what we call, when we created what we call priority posts, we had to focus on the heads of offices. Where we still have a challenge was about the four provinces that we had stated, which is well documented and the reasons thereof, where we have acting provincial managers. But even that one was given urgent attention even after here. The minister then indicated that we needed to re-advertise those posts, but with clear target about gender equity, because we already had too many males as heads of provinces. So we have done that re-advert in August, and we are now working towards finalizing the recruitment process. We are hoping that we should be able to fill those posts and eliminate this acting capacity problem.
Honorable Bosma, the training that you made on officials of the department, especially on citizenship, did you maybe include other departments like the police? Because in some instances, police do arrest people who do not have proper documentation. Just wanted to find out if police were part of the training or not, or other people who are supposed to be part on have knowledge of the Citizenship Amendment Act were part of that or not. Honorable Le Bosman.
Yeah, Chair, the other thing that I wanted to raise is the issue of around the training, the stakeholder forums, whether they also are exposed to this kind of a training. Because when we implement, we also need those people to also educate the community on the ground about all the issues pertaining to the two acts. And I think for now, those are the people we have that can liaise with the communities on the ground and also assist the department to ensure that it's not about administration only, but the communities also are responsible for whatever changes that may be. The other issue, I think, as we once discussed, I think there was a presentation around the issue of posts. I'm touching on this, but it's not that much linked to the issue we're discussing now. Where we then said, as we saw the number of black people and colored and whatever it was like divided into that, and the issue of gender, where we did indicate that as we do all these things, I think we need not compromise quality. If we can't, we are not saying we need to ignore the issue of gender. It's critical. But we are saying, as we are doing that, because the manner in which the explanation we've been getting why this post cannot be confirmed is basically on a gender issue. And it will ultimately come to a point where we end up just filling it for the sake of filling it, just to have those faces there, and we compromise the entire delivery that we expect for the department. So I would want to caution that as we go back and implement the appointments, we need not compromise quality based on the issue of gender or the equity, all equity issues. The only worry that I have if we do present the regulations now is that we would not have had enough time to go through them, and we would not do justice discussing them now. So it is important that even if they can be presented, we still have to go back and go through them so that we liaise with different documents and check as to whether we can then have an input that would assist in regulations that would have an impact on this particular act that we have just amended. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Mayor Bosman. Really on the issue of gender, like Honorable Grace has put it, I think you really need to reconsider that. Do not compromise putting quality with what? Kanjalo, yes. Please, you know. Yeah, because we do go around with our provincial managers, and we know, you know, Uguti, how good some of them are, you know, and we really want to ask Uguti, please be considerate. We are, yes, saying gender would need to be there, but ayenzwe kahle. Equality of UNEG. Okay, over to you. And I was just raising the issue of regulations. I don't think we will, they will make a presentation because I don't think they were prepared to do that. We will just ask you to forward the document to the support staff and they will circulate it. We will have another day for that. DDG?
Thanks very much, Honorable Chair. Yes, we will leave the regulations today with the admin staff once they are available, and then we will hear from the chairperson when we will come back for the briefing. And then we have noted the guidance and the advice around the issue of the filling of posts. We will definitely communicate that accordingly to the department and make sure that we address the issue of vacancies, not just to window dress, but to make sure that we've got people who can do the job with their prerequisite skills to the best of the ability of the department. Then on the training of stakeholder forums and the subs, we will go back and look at how many, which of the stakeholders have been identified. We are at an early stage of training. We will then incorporate those. I think particularly the issue of the subs and the citizenship together with our inspectorate, it will be critical that we incorporate them. By this stage, we had really focused on those delineated categories of religious leaders and the issue of the traditional leaders. Both were more focusing around the issues of birth and death. Both Minister Naledi Pandor indicated the importance of their role also over and above what the Deputy Minister had already mentioned, that if we have to make sure that we've got highest coverage of death registration, particularly in rural areas, then both the Deputy Minister and the Minister now also indicated the importance that we really train those sectors, and that included the people who bury overnight or within before the sun rises, that we must take also those religious diversity cultures also and look at all those elements. So we then had to look at the categories of key stakeholders. We will then include subs as part of that, but also stakeholder forums, we agree, Honorable, they are the cornerstone of really helping us to implement the acts. We will continue to make sure they are part and parcel of the training.
If I may, Honorable Members, and I think the part of what is happening now with Statistics South Africa, we've been partnering with them, going out to train medical practitioners or doctors in relation to the completion of the form for death registration. So, and as DDG indicated, the process from October to December is mainly focused on officials and the key role players, but there will still be a follow-up training to make sure that as we implement, we identify the gaps and we emphasize on what needs to happen. So, and I think the police also, from the side of immigration law, will then have to make sure that we assist them in the verification process of whether a person is a citizen or not. Thank you.
Thank you. thank you, Titichi, and our advocate, Sibele Meja. Is it right? Sibele Meja. Yes. Yeah, honorable members, seems we've come to the end of our meeting. We'd like to thank you for your input. It was a short meeting. Because there was, I think, miscommunication. But we will circulate the regulations and have another day where